Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center on Labor Day. I hope you're having a good time with your family, enjoying yourself. We're going to help you fill in some of the blank spaces of understanding how our minds work. Maybe you work with people and you got a day off and you say, boy, I work with a person that's so emotional, I don't know how to deal with them. Or on the other hand, you're married to a person that you wish could understand your emotions a little more. How do we balance the head and the heart? God's given us both, right? Our thinking part and also our emotional part. How do we marry these two for God's glory and our benefit? Continuing the discussion from last week with my friend, Dr. Todd Linneman, who is the founder and the leader of Relational Advantage, this counseling, consulting, writing, research, and has been doing a lot of years and one of the best. And I'm glad he could make time to be with us on this Labor Day. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
All right. For those who didn't hear us last week, we were talking about making decisions and how our mind can work either reasonably or unreasonably. We have both going on. Satan loves to camp in maybe either of those. And so we want to help people make some better decisions. Tell you what, we got some callers standing by. Let's get to a couple, and then we can fill in some of the blanks along the way. Dawn is in Michigan. Hi, Dawn. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for waiting. We appreciate your patience. Go right ahead. What's your question today?
I'm a stage 4 cancer survivor. I was diagnosed a little under 2 years ago. I was told I wasn't going to make it, but a series of miracles happened, and
Amen.
I did.
Amen.
My problem is, or I guess my dilemma, is that I am on disability. I'm stable, and I'm continuing on disability, and that is putting me at odds with my family because they feel like I just am giving up on life and don't want to move forward and get a job, when really the truth is I do want to move forward and I do want to work. But there's a 90% chance that my cancer is going to come back. And when it does, or if it does, it will take 12 months to get back on disability. And
yeah.
I don't have the finances to go 12 months this time. I'm scared I'm going to lose everything. So I'm at odds with my family because they feel like I'm just giving up, being lazy. I'm just living off the system. And it's really just fear that's keeping me from employment.
Well, Don, we appreciate your call. And you're here. God's given you another day. And we rejoice with you in that and getting good treatment for yourself. But I hear that fear. And when we think about decision-making, Todd, in this reasonable mind, non-reasonable mind, that, you know, fear can play a big part in that, can't it?
It sure can. It can dominate the emotional mind, and it can undermine our decision-making. But we've got to determine whether or not it's rational fear or irrational fear. And I'm hearing Dawn saying, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to be in a really bad position if I don't have this disability. And, you know, God allows the cancer to come back.
That's very reasonable. Isn't
absolutely.
It?
It's also reasonable for her family to a degree to have fear that Dawn's given up, that Dawn's not willing to fight, get back in the game, because maybe, you know, mind over matter will be successful in that. If you just have positive thinking and get into the game, maybe that can help keep the cancer at bay. It sounds like there's fear on both sides. Ultimately, the decision has to be Dawn's. And it has to be made in conjunction, in all likelihood, with her physicians to see what the prognosis really is. And when we're talking about something like disability, that's not an easy thing to get back and then reacquire. It just isn't. And so, Dawn, I understand that consideration. And my encouragement to you is, while on disability, do you believe that you are doing what you can to move forward in terms of how you live your life constructively, doing things to take care of your health, to contribute to the community, contribute to the family? And if you can say, yes, I am doing that, I'm not lazy just sitting on the couch watching TV all day, then that, you know, is significant and needs to be attended to as it relates to your decision-making process. So I would just encourage you to consider those things.
Do you feel like Dawn, that you're doing what you need to do and taking care of yourself?
I could probably do more. I do have hobbies that I work on daily. I contribute to campaigns, volunteer my time. I try to take my dog out for a walk every day. So, I mean, I'm not in front of the TV all day by any means. I do have some days where I am. but, I mean, I am trying to accomplish things and get things done.
Well, I think Todd gave you some good counsel there in terms of ultimately it's your decision. It's your life, your body, your health, your comfort. And it certainly seems reasonable to be concerned about losing benefits and taking care of yourself. Maybe part of it is being able to sit down with the family that you love and ask for their understanding that you did not really looking for their counsel or advice at this point. And it might be that you need to get some outside, totally objective. You need to talk to a Todd in your community, someone that you can sit down with who can help you think this through. And so when you make a decision, you got settled. There's a part of this, I think, this emotional and reasonable mind, we got to be settled, don't we, emotionally? Which raises a question, Todd. How do we ever get feeling settled in making a decision when we're just of the disposition we're never quite settled?
Well, that's true. There's going to be times when we have to make a decision and we're not 100% on it. But that's when we have to pray that God gives us contentment. You know, the word contentment comes from the Latin word contentus, and that means to be held together, to be integrated together, which means that in all circumstances, you can emotionally be at peace. You can have calm. You can integrate the reasonable mind and the emotional mind so as to be in your wise mind or the Holy Spirit-led mind. And so I think it's critical to pray that God give you peace and contentment so that's kind of a green light for people when they can say that's where they're at.
All right, let me go to Justice in Kansas. Justice, how you doing?
I'm doing great today, guys. Thank you.
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question or comment?
Well, I'm 23, you know, and I recently came into a relationship with Christ more fully than I ever have been in my life. I've been through a lot of things. And my biggest concern is that a couple years ago, while I was still in my teen years, you know, I made some decisions that were very poor, very wrong, and very sinful. And, you know, I've since moved past it. I've always had shame for it. I've always had guilt. And my concern is that, you know, maybe the day is going to come finally, you know, where I have to come home to God and I have to, you know, repent from my judgments and everything. And I'm just worried that, you know, those bad things, as bad as they were, will outweigh anything good I do in the future. So how can I reconcile or reason with this while still being able to live a good life? Because sometimes I think about what I did and, you know, it was wrong and it brings me to tears about how bad it was. And I just, you know, I worry about the people that were involved with what I did and, you know, who are affected by it. And just how can I reconcile with all that?
Justice, let me say two things before I forget, and then I'll let Dr. Linneman respond. The fact that you're concerned about this, the fact that your spirit is sensitive to the, you use the word shame or regret from the past, to me is one of the evidence that you are a follower of Christ. Because frankly, if you didn't care and you weren't following Christ, you wouldn't be asking this question. You want to be a person who's a Christ follower. Secondly, let me say this. For every person listening, including me and Dr. Linneman and everybody else, we all have our own stories. And God doesn't look down and say, oh boy, his story is worse than that guy's story. All of us are sinners, the Bible says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says to us in 1 John 1:9, Justice, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to re-crucify Christ every day to think, well, I got to be forgiven again today. It's a once and for all. God has forgiven you. If you've given your life to him, brother, you are clean in him. Now, that doesn't mean we don't sin. That doesn't mean we don't fall. But don't let the evil one, don't let Satan continue to speak into your ear a lie that somewhere or other, when I get to heaven, is God going to bring all this back up? The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, it's been forgiven. And so as a brother in Christ, we all have our story. We're all going to stand before Christ someday, and it'll just be your story. And you know what? He's not going to remember that. He's going to remember that his son died for you. And that's a fact. Do you believe that?
I do.
But you still struggle with the emotions, don't you?
Yeah.
Todd, talk to Justice about this in terms of how our emotions actually can become an instrument of discouragement that God never intended.
Well, let me tell you, the enemy would like nothing more than to keep you stuck in the past with shame, with false guilt, and you don't want to give him that victory. You want to be able to say, you know, Romans 8:1 says there is now therefore no condemnation and for those who are in Christ Jesus. But that doesn't mean you're not going to feel that emotion. Doesn't mean you're not going to feel the consequences of your decisions. But it's imperative that you make peace with that past and say, you know what? I believe God's forgiven me. I believe I'm going to walk in his grace and mercy. And now I need to do that for myself. Because if I am encumbered by this, you know, ball and chain of negative emotion and the belief that says what I did was not forgivable or what I did is, you know, reprehensible and now I am never going to be okay, that's a lie from the pit of hell. So we need to be able to say, I've repented, I've made amends to the degree I'm capable and able to make amends, and now it's living in the present without judgment and not going into the future with fear and self-condemnation. And that's not an easy place to get, but that is absolutely what I want to encourage you to strive for. It's about putting in perspective and saying to the enemy, hey, I'm not going to live according to those lies that you're trying to feed my mind. Because once the emotions take over, it renders you practically powerless. Again, easier said than done, but that's what I want to encourage you to work toward.
Mm-hmm. Does that help, Justice?
I appreciate that a lot.
Let me pray.
Yeah,
let me pray with you, brother, okay?
Okay.
23 years old. Hey, listen. You got a whole life ahead of you, and you can use this moment and your past to help build to the future. But remember, the rearview mirror is smaller in the car than the windshield, so we take a glance to the past, but we keep our focus on the future, okay? Father, I pray for justice and for all who are listening today who might be struggling with those feelings, that part of our emotions and emotional mind that will try to speak into us. Satan will use that to speak lies into our lives. Pray for freedom for him and his mind, his thinking, because you freed him from the consequences of his past, as you have done for each of us who have come to you. We thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right, and when you do, you're making a difference. Today, because it's a holiday, Labor Day, our staff are spending some time with family, which is great. We encourage that. But you always can go online because the computer's always working. They have no break. They have no family. They have no life. You can just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and join in on the family. Be a part of the team. We'd appreciate it. Dr. Todd Linneman is with me today. Dr. Linneman is the founder of Relational Advantage. It's really a counseling center. He works with couples and individuals. He does counseling and consulting with businesses and leaders in business. And research, you do a lot of this locally, but you do it online as well.
I do. I do have
in various places around the
around the world.
Mm-hmm. So they can find you online, right?
They certainly can.
Well, yes. what's your web address?
You can go to relationaladvantage.com and you'll land on the website.
All right, relationaladvantage.com. Very good. All right, we're talking about our mind, about our thinking today, and about the power of our thinking, how it can be a problem. We posed that question before the break when it comes to, you know, about lying and how it can impact our life. What's your reflection on what you heard when we were just talking to Justice?
Well, what came to my mind was that, you know, there's somebody that claims to be the chief of all sinners, and God used him to write more than half the New, or about half of the New Testament.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul.
Murderer.
Yeah, that's right. And so we've got to keep things in perspective. What oftentimes people do is they continue to allow themselves to feel the way they do because they're allowing themselves to think the way they think. And they've got to, at some point, be able to quiet the emotional mind long enough to say, what am I thinking? Because a lot of times they don't even consciously know it. And write it out on paper and share it with a friend and say, you know, what do you think about this thought process? And a good friend will say, you know what? It's totally erroneous. It's false. And you need to begin restructuring this thought. Otherwise, it will continue to influence your emotions, which will ultimately influence your actions. Mm-hmm. And so that's what comes to mind the most. And Justice clearly has a sensitive heart, and that's wonderful. But if we live in that emotional state without proactively questioning what we're thinking, because ultimately thought precedes emotion, we will be perpetually stuck mm-hmm. and in a bondage we don't have to be in.
You've counseled with thousands of people over the years, Todd. I'm asking you off the cuff here and just off the top of your head. What percentage of people do you think you've experienced this? They're not regulating their emotions and it creates problems, and you help them and you talk it through and they get strategies, are successful in actually making those changes?
I think that if they consistently practice appropriate skills and strategies over time, I fortunately have, you know, had the experience of seeing many, many people. It's hard to give you a percentage,
yeah.
But people who are, you know, we talk about it this way, if they're willing to be consciously competent, that means every day they practice these skills and strategies. It's like if you want to change your nutrition, you better consciously think about that, because if you do it long enough, 30, 60, 90 days, you become unconsciously competent, which is the epitome of intentional living, healthy, God-honoring intentional living.
That's the kind of habits we want to develop, right?
That's right.
All right. Let me go to Amy, who's on the line in Arizona. Amy, thank you for holding on. Appreciate your patience. What's your question today?
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call, Dr. Randy. I have a situation that's going on in my household right now. I have a sister who lives with us, and my husband and my sister are not getting along, and there's been several altercations that have occurred between the two. And my sister has been diagnosed as being a manic depressant as well as being bipolar. So mentally and emotionally, she's unstable. And I do have two kids in the household that are subjected to this behavior, 15-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son. And I just am trying to figure out what the best course of action is to take to address the situation. And my sister was originally invited to come into the household to be a nanny for our kids. And now the kids are older and don't require that same type of care that they used to. So I'm trying to be the one that's being the peacemaker in this situation. And there's just some huge conflict going on in the household. And I'm just trying to figure out what the right course of action to take.
All right. So using the terms we're talking about today, you're kind of the reasonable person in this situation, trying to figure it out, being a peacemaker. Sounds like your husband gets pretty emotionally engaged. And then your sister with her challenge, which raises the question, Todd, she's introduced mental illness into this as well. Where does all that fit in terms of helping a family like that?
Well, again, as I was saying earlier, the emotional mind is dependent upon the mood that a person's in. And bipolar is can be a very serious disorder, and it can wreak havoc on individual and the lives around them, but it can cause the mood to fluctuate, either with depression or what we call hypomania or mania. And it really keeps us stuck in our emotional mind unless we're receiving the right treatment, medication, therapy, et cetera. So that can complicate things. And people, who have those disorders oftentimes think in a distorted way. So their rationale, their reasoning, their emotions, they're not going to be conducive to good decision making. If I may, Randy, I would just say that the reasonable mind is the one that looks at things practically and pragmatically. And the wise mind integrates values, intuition, and principles into decision making. And I think in Amy's case, the reality is that her family comes first. And by family, I mean husband and kids. Mm-hmm. Her sister is secondary to her immediate family. And even with, taking in consideration she has a mental illness. So her family comes first. Her sister needs to be able to get the help she needs for living purposes, for treatment perhaps, for just being able to, live her life as an adult. But that is independent of Amy and her family. Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean they can't be a part of it or help out, but it's imperative that chaos be eliminated. And that in all likelihood is going to mean some conversations are going to take place, hopefully in the wise mind, where you can be reasonable and, have the right emotions at play so that you can say, we love you dearly, but you've got until this time to find another place to live. We don't want to subject our kids to this influence of destructive conflict. It's not good for them. And we want you to be independent as much as you can be. And people with bipolar disorder live independent lives all the time. And we don't want the sister to become, a distraction in the marriage as well. Because I can just imagine, Amy, that you and your husband will go at this because you've got competing agendas at times. And so I would say those principles need to be listened to, recognized, and decisions need to be based upon them.
Mm. All right. Hope that helps, Amy. Some good advice there from Dr. Todd Lindemann. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. I have less control than I think I do. I get an airplane and I take off. I don't have much control. In fact, have you ever had a turbulence where all of a sudden the plane jerks and you grab hold of the armrest? As though by grabbing those armrests, this plane is going to settle down. That's a clip, that's an excerpt from the teaching about these moments in life that we get, these defining moments that make an impact. And most of us can look back and say, that was a defining moment. That's what we're talking about today. Often it's around a decision. Some of them good, some not so good. We can get stuck. We don't want to do that. We want to honor God. This is intentional living, making better decisions, doing the next right one thing, and decluttering our lives. Those are sort of the steps of intentional living. And I hope you're finding some help on this Labor Day. I hope you're enjoying your family as well. We appreciate each of you for taking time to listen. Thank you for your prayers and support. I think we got time maybe for one more question here from Michelle. I think calling us from New Mexico, she left this comment and question.
My name is Michelle, and my question is, sometimes I'm not sure if I'm making the right decision because it's me thinking it, or if it's God that's leading me to it, even though how much I pray and I read my word or I worship or I ask friends, sometimes I still don't know if it's the right decision because I want it so bad or if that's the road that God's leading me.
Well, I think a lot of us get into that. If we're sensitive people and we want to do something that honors Christ, and we think, is this good, not good? And we can kind of go around in circles. How do we break that cycle and make some decisions?
Well, first of all, you can make the best decision and still doubt it. Some people struggle significantly with indecision due to self-doubt. And there's a lot of moving parts to that issue. But I think it's important to draw other people in and say, here are the thoughts I have related to this decision. Are they reasonable? Are they balanced? Are they rational? And if someone is saying, yes, they are, and they seem to line up with your emotion, then the next important thing is to say, God, I'm going to act in faith on what I believe you're telling me to do. Close the door at every turn if necessary. If not, keep it wide open.
Yeah.
We have to exercise our faith.
And so often it's not a decision between bad and good. Those should be pretty straightforward for us, you know. But it's the better, best ones.
That's right.
You know, that can be difficult. All right. Well, Todd, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
We got time in 60 seconds. What do you tell someone who's hearing all of this? What's your closing thought?
Well, my closing thought is this. If you feel like you have made or believe you've made a series of bad decisions, in all likelihood, it's driven by your mood state. It's driven by the type of individual you are. You may be a feeler, and you put maybe at times way too much emphasis on the feeling. Mm-hmm. And so we have to find balance in order to get to the wise mind. I would encourage you to ask yourself, what have others told you in terms of your mood and your emotionality? If you've heard things like you're overly sensitive or overly moody, that's something to take very seriously, because it will contaminate the decision-making process. And there are a lot of things you can do to get better at regulating that mood.
Boy, this is good. I got to have you back another day.
I'd love to do it.
And we can talk about decision-making in the mind, because this is really at the core of what we talk about here at Intentional Living. As I said, we have these kind of these three D's that I talk about: making a decision, doing one thing every day to honor that decision for God's glory and your benefit, and then the D of decluttering. That could be, we talked a lot about that today, decluttering. Sometimes it's a relationship, sometimes it's a thinking process, sometimes it's our schedule, but living intentionally is ultimately bringing glory to God and benefit to those that we love, because I've learned over the years when we experience life the way God intended, we benefit from it, for sure. All right, have a happy Labor Day today, Todd.
Thank you.
Hot dogs or whatever you're working on there. And we're going to be doing some things with the family as well. I don't know what Donna's got going, but I'll find out soon. Thank you for your support, everyone. Thank you for praying for, standing with us, being a part of the Intentional Living Ministry, where we have a seven-word mission statement, helping you experience life as God intended. And that's it. That's what we do. And when we do that, boy, our lives are better off. And so are those that we love around us. So have a great day. This is Intentional Living from the Intentional Living Center and Studio, and is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.